Good evening and welcome. Thank you for joining me on the show as we wrap up our final hour this evening of the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Dave Schrader. And our guest for the remainder of the short show is Tricia Robertson. She is a former president of the Scottish Society for Cyclical Research, and she's sharing stories from her extensive casebook that deal with a wide range of phenomena that provide evidence for survival after death. We'll open up phone lines at the bottom of the hour. If you have questions for our guest, you can certainly give us a call. We encourage that. And let me make a mention, if you're intrigued by the strange and the supernatural and you'd like to have an experience of your own, you can join me this June 20th through the 27th. I'll be going to Germany and Prague on our Frankenstein field trip. You can find more information about that at darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. Which is a good way to keep in touch with me and find out other locations I'll be visiting throughout the United States and around the world. But Germany and Prague has haunted castles and haunted crypts, mummies, ghosts, and more. And you can join me as we go out and investigate. It's a small grouping. We're going to do about 30 to 35 people, no more. And it's an amazing trip that you will love. It's an adventure of a lifetime. Hopefully you'll join me for that. Check out darknessevents.com. When we come back, we'll continue our look into the afterlife with our guest, Tricia Robertson, here on Coast to Coast AM. More things you can do when you're dead. What can you truly believe? Tricia Robertson, our guest this evening. Tricia, what are you hoping with this book series? What are you hoping people can get from these?
Well, I deal in pragmatic evidence. I don't go into metaphysical stuff at all. I actually deal with things that happen to people, real people in real life situations, who we are here and now, and what happens to people. Because people want to make sense of that. Sometimes churches can help them do that, all kinds of churches, and sometimes they can't. And all I try to do is provide them with evidence. Everybody that has a paranormal experience thinks they're the only one that's ever had it. If something strange happens in their house, it's like, who are you going to call? And they don't know where to turn to for reliable information. And I am hoping to provide, and I have done, reliable information about things that actually happen to real people in real life. The genuine cases, not the airy-fairy stuff or the people who are misguided. I've rarely come across a case of fraud, just once, people trying to make a fool of it. But you have to deal in the high end, keep your feet in the ground, keep a sense of humor, and be real with it. And I'm hoping that people, especially people who are bereaved actually, they don't know what to believe. They really don't know what to believe. And there's such a wealth of evidence, not only in my books, but in other books, that provide that evidence that, yes, the consciousness of that person is still there, still alive, and still knows what's going on the earth after they have died. And that's very important. That's the best kind of information, if they can tell you stuff that's happened after they died as well. And something, if you have to go and find it out, if that's correct, that's even better. But there is a huge wealth of information.
And can you tell us some of the accounts? Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, could you tell me some of the accounts of what people reported they were doing in the afterlife?
They never do that. They never tell you what they're actually doing. You might get references like, oh, I help in the library, or I help in the hospitals. I help to bring new souls over who are confused. It's a very general thing. If you want to actually read about that, you want to read some of Emanuel Swedenborg's books. They are very, very high flown about things that go on. But they all do say that in the afterlife you progress. But the best place to progress spiritually is here on the earth plane. Once you're on the earth, you do the best you can here, and you'll be going at a higher level. I mean, not everybody starts the afterlife in the same place. You wouldn't expect, for example, Mother Teresa and Adolf Hitler to be in the same level of consciousness, because you can be damn sure they won't be. They'll be doing different things at different levels. Some people seem to be able to choose to come back to Earth again if they want to, and some can't. And going back to reincarnation, I'm not saying that everybody is reincarnated. All I'm saying is there's enough evidence to show that at least some people appear to be reincarnated. But there's so many other ways of looking at that. You think of inspiration and automatic writing. People like Rosemary Brown that can channel different composers and write hundreds of pieces of classical music that she can't do. She does not know how to do that. And even just the other day, there was a program on about it, and someone has recently taken her music to someone who didn't know anything about it, and they actually said, yes, this is very much in the style of Beethoven. There's so many things we don't understand about how we work, how consciousness works. And Dr. Peter Fenwick, who's a famous neurologist, will tell you, nobody knows what consciousness actually is. Nobody can put a finger on it and say, that's consciousness. It lies in your brain, it lies in your heart, it lies in every cell of your body. We just don't know what consciousness is. But we just know that we exist, and we know that we are conscious.
You've talked to so many people. How do you feel about death? I mean, is that something that frightens you, or are you prepared for it? Where do you come in now?
What do I feel about consciousness?
No, about death. How do you approach death?
Well, I'm sure it'll be absolutely fine when it comes, and if I believe all of my own researches and things that I've found out, there should be absolutely no problem with it at all for most people. But you probably know yourself with a lot of people who've had maybe somebody that's not such a nice person here on Earth. If they have a near-death experience, it doesn't need to be a good near-death experience. They can go to a pretty dark place. And often that's enough to, when they do come back, to say to them, wow, I don't want to go to that dark place again. I'm going to turn my life around. And that has happened. And they realize they've got to lead a better life here to get a better place when you actually move over.
But you have no fear of death in the sense of,
no,
is there something next? You do believe that there is something.
I am convinced from the evidence that if all this stuff I'm telling you is true, and I think that it is, then there should be no problem for anyone passing over to another side. Although there are cases of earthbound people who have died who don't actually know they're dead. But that's just one small partition of people. They call them earthbound spirits who don't actually know they're dead. That's not the kind of people in your castles, etc., where it's not an actual spirit of a person, it's a memory. It's like a memory in space and time of these old castles. The person doesn't actually need to be there for you to see an outline of the figure. It's like playing a videotape in the space and time. But where I'll call it a spirit for want of a better word, where a spirit interacts with you, looks at you, talks to you, the essence of that person is there. But where they just walk through walls and don't appear to see you at all, they're not really there. That's just like a videotape in that space and time.
Right, and that's kind of played over and over like the residual
haunting. It's like a residual thing. They call it the stone tape theory. Although, in fact, it's not actually within the fabric of the building. It's in that the space and time, literally, of where that event occurred, that heavy memory is actually there. But another thing I find absolutely fascinating, and I never used to, is the talent of automatic writing. You had a fantastic woman in America, Mrs. Curran, who could channel through automatic writing a spirit of a woman called Patience Worth. And the outpouring of the material from that is just amazing. Thousands and thousands of words that Mrs. Curran couldn't... She was educated till she was 14, but she wasn't a well-educated woman. And yet the books that were written through automatic writing were totally and utterly outstanding, covering different things like history, religion, science. And Mrs. Curran didn't have that information, and yet the books that she wrote were just totally and utterly outstanding. And that was around about 1927, I think, to about the 1940s. And then you have the Brazilian Chico Xavier, who was only educated to primary six. Don't you call that in America, in the primary school? And yet his outpouring of material was totally outstanding. He wrote 50 million words, often in science, often in poetry. And he didn't understand what he was writing at all. And yet everything he wrote was absolutely correct. So where does that information come from? Who is it that's writing through Chico Xavier and Mrs. Curran? It's not him. He's not downloading the material because it's new material. His hand is taken and his hand writes. And he can often write with two hands at the one time, different things with both hands. Now, that's quite a trick if you can do it.
Well, I you know, then you've got musicians and artists and writers who have said very similar things. I know that I can't remember if it was Jimmy Page or Robert Plant that owned the castle over in Scotland, and he said that he would get it was almost like just a download of information, and he'd begin writing
That's right.
music.
Paul McCartney did that with the. I think it was yesterday. I've got it written in the book. I can't remember. Paul McCartney said he wakened up one day and he got this song, which I think was yesterday, which you probably know, the Beatles song Yesterday.
Right.
And he got the melody, he got the words, and he was going to call it some ridiculous title. I can't like hot dog or.
Yeah, it was scrambled eggs and toast like that.
And then fortunately, it changed it to Yesterday. But I mean, there's just so much by way of inspiration. Even scientists have inspiration. They often waken up, be thinking about a puzzle overnight, and it's given to them in some way. It's just there in the morning, which is strange. And then you have people like your American boy, Jay Greenberg, who from when he was 2.5 years old, he couldn't speak, but he could draw cellos and write the word cello. And he went on to go to one of the conservatoires of music in America, and he is literally a child genius. Now, Jay Greenberg does say he hears it like channels of music. It's like listening to the radio with different channels, and he can download this music more than one channel at a time. So where that comes from, I don't know, but it's certainly not from Jay Greenberg himself, whether it's from someone in the spirit world or whether there's a place one can download music like Spotify, I don't know. But that's certainly amazing.
Do you think that there are any...
We don't know.
Right. Do you think there are any inherent dangers in opening yourself to these kind of communications?
There are, if you're not careful. If you do it in a foolish way, like sitting around with a Ouija board when you've had a drink, just for a laugh, you can open a door that you can't close. Even ordinary meditation, you should always have a teacher to teach you to meditate because you're altering your consciousness. There are many ways. Archie Roy and I used to speak about, obviously within you and I, well, I'm not a medium, I don't know if you're a medium or not, but if you're not a medium, there's a lid kept in your brain somewhere that you don't tune into these channels. We call it, but when the lid comes off in some way, then whatever that thing is allows you to tune into either people who have passed over or music channels or automatic writing with poets, etc., etc. But once that lid comes off, sometimes if you do it the wrong way, you can't get it back on again, and it can be very, very dangerous. Now, there's a school of thought that says quite a few, we'll call them mental patients in psychiatric wards. Some of them are simply mediumistic and can't make sense of what's going on in their head. Now, there is an element of that, not all of it, of course, but some people who hear voices are not necessarily all psychiatric cases. It's just something that the doctors can't understand. But what is important is what the voices are telling them. If the voices are bad voices, then it's usually a psychotic, you know, breakdown of some sort. But if the voices are sensible, then maybe we should listen to them.
Right. Isn't it interesting? Yeah. When it's good, positive voices, it's okay. But if it's got any kind of negative connotation or negative note, we should just dismiss that. And that just seems so strange to me that we could do that and not when we don't know how to differentiate between where this information is coming from and if we should just dismiss it. So
that's true.
Quickly.
But a lot of these people, you know, like these men that think they're given from God, you know, the guys in Waco and all that think they've been told by God to kill all these people. Well, I mean, that's just nonsense. Obviously, if it's good stuff and good information that helps people, and that's literally where I come from. I want to help people that have no hope. People have maybe lost someone, their children, whatever, and they're absolutely desolate. They think they're never going to see or hear from that child again. And that is where good mediumship comes in. And good mediums are worth their weight in gold. And I am very fortunate to know a lot of very good mediums. And I know the good work they have done with other people who are absolutely brokenhearted, and that's the bottom line. We're all here to give people hope and try to help those with a broken heart. That's my bottom line anyway.
Can't that cause problems? Obsession with the death communication and wanting to communicate over and over with these people?
Oh, yes. You should really only need one or two good communications to realize that the people are actually okay. And quite often what happens is that, as a case in the first book, where a woman phoned me and said their son's funeral was the next day, and she after that she was going to join him. And it took me a lot of talking and putting in touch with an excellent medium over the phone. And this is a woman I knew nothing about, and this medium gave her such information that woman turned her life around and realized she wasn't going to kill herself, and she has gone on to help people become a nurse, and she's now training as a healer because of good information given by a medium. It's like everything else in life. It's like a glass of wine. A glass of wine is fine, but if you go to become an alcoholic, then it's not fine. Everything else in life is moderation, as is communication with the next realm, as it were. And unfortunately, every single person is different. We all have different wants and needs. But the evidence that we do survive, and that's my bottom line. That was the question you asked me. What do I hope to achieve from the books? I want you to know out there that is fantastic evidence there. Pragmatic evidence, no doubt about it, that you will survive, your loved one will survive, and you can see them and talk to them again at another point in time. That's my bottom line, looking at it through a great spectrum of phenomena which all points to the same thing, survival. These things could only happen if the human personality survives. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, then to me it's a duck.
Fair enough. We've only got a few minutes left in this segment, but what do you make of the accounts of possession?
Some cases of possession are genuine. Some cases of possession could be mental illness. Once again, it's my same old story. You have to take each case at a time, but there is no doubt that people can be overshadowed to do things, you know, like overshadowing, or possessed in a way to do things they wouldn't normally do. And somebody said to me many, many years ago, remember that all thoughts that come into your mind may not necessarily be coming from you. You might be picking up a thought that a negative thought someone else is sending you. And at first I kind of went, nah, but now I realize it's possibly true. So if you think something in your mind that wouldn't be your normal character, just go, wait a minute, no, not having that. I don't know where that came from, but I'm definitely not having it. And of course, that's how voodoo and all these things work, with they think people are sending them negative thoughts. Thoughts are indeed living things. There's no doubt about it. And as I said to you before, all of this is all to do with emotion, motivation, and intention. And it's our intention while we're here that matters, what we intend to do with the knowledge we have. Well, you can use it for good, you can ignore it, or you can use it for bad, and I certainly don't want to use it for any bad purpose. But the emotion and the love, the motivation has to be there for any of this to work. However it works, I don't know.
We're coming up against the top of the hour, or the bottom of the hour break. We'll open up phone lines if people have questions for our guest. You could feel free to call in and be a part of the show that way. We'd love to hear from you regarding any of these aspects that you've heard this evening. And I highly recommend pick up the books. They're entertaining. There's some very funny stories, some very heartwarming stories, and definitely stories that will pique your interest and cause you to think things through. As somebody who, like many of you, has a fear of death and wants to know what comes next, what can we look for? It's in these words. It's in books like this that we start to maybe see the revelation, see some of those layers pulled back so that we can understand for ourselves what so many people around the world are experiencing. And we can read and see some of this evidence in some of the most detailed firsthand accounts. And you could do that by picking up the books for yourself. We'll take this break. We'll open up phone lines. Please give us a call now. Be a part of the show. I'm Dave Schrader. This is Coast to Coast AM. Thank you very much for joining me. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. If you have questions for our guests, this is your chance to chime in and become part of Coast to Coast AM. And if you enjoy Coast to Coast AM and the strange and fringe elements that we cover on this show, then I'm going to encourage you and invite you to join me on my show, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight, Darkness Radio, the best in paranormal talk radio, paired up and partnered with Coast to Coast AM every night. That's right. You can check us out on our website, where we stream live from KTLK AM 1130 and 103.5 FM out of the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul News Radio Market. You can check us out at darknessradio.com. There's a live stream right on the site, and you'll find all of our free archive shows. But you can stream the show Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Central. And then keep your dial right there, because as soon as our show wraps up, George Norrie and Coast to Coast takes over the airwaves. So you get 7 hours of continuous radio information and entertainment. 7 hours of the best in talk radio. And you can find it right at darknessradio.com with Coast to Coast AM. And speaking of the perfect pairing, Valentine's is right around the corner, and ParanormalDate.com has an amazing offer for you. Their discount code is Cupid. That's right, Cupid. And what does that do for you? Well, when you sign up for a full membership, it's good for 40% off. And the code is going to be valid through February 29th. So go sign up now and take advantage of the 40% off at ParanormalDate.com. Keyword, discount code, Cupid. And you'll find more information on the website. And isn't it about time you treat yourself right? You're looking to start off the new year. We've already gotten past the let's work out and eat better routine. Now let's try to find somebody to share the rest of our lives with. Well, this is a great opportunity for you to do that and find people that like the same things you do. They're listening to Coast to Coast AM. They're reading the website, and they're part of the Insiders Club. Well, you can become part of your own romantic Insiders Club by joining ParanormalDate.com. When we return, we'll wrap up with our guest. We'll take your phone calls, and that's all next here on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest, Tricia Robertson, has 29 years of experience in investigating. Her new book, More Things You Can Do When You're Dead, What Can You Truly Believe, is the follow-up to her very successful book, Things You Can Do When You're Dead. We're taking your phone calls this hour. Feel free to give us a call and be a part of the show. Have you ever opened yourself up to spirit communication through yourself, like a channel or medium? Is that something that even interests you, Tricia?
I tried at one time, but I said to you before, I'm a psychic as a wooden leg, to be honest with you. I did go to sit in a circle. I have sat in one alleged physical circle, but my own abilities, I would say, are practically nil, which is actually a good thing, because I have to take the scientific approach. I just would like to say very quickly that on my own website, since we've had that last break, there are lots of people contacting me through my own website, and everyone who's done that, I will answer you. And as we said before, there's one particular lady who is absolutely heartbroken, and she is. This is hopefully helping her, and that's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. But my own abilities, no, not really. I'm good at spontaneous cases. I seem to be empathetic with situations. I can spot what's happening. And I think you asked me earlier on if it was easy or hard to discern if people were telling you the truth or not. Well, it's actually quite easy. Once you've done it for a long time, you can spot if it's a genuine case or not. It's not difficult. It's just experience like everything else. I wonder, are you mediumistic, Dave?
No. I've had psychic experiences, and I've seen spirits, which mediums will tell you then makes you mediumistic, but not in the classical sense of,
no,
you know, sitting down and trying to tap in or having them come to me. No. But I have seen physical manifestations, shadow people.
Yeah.
I've heard, I've seen, and I've been visited by spirits in my own life. So there's that, but I wouldn't put myself in the mediumistic.
No. Well, you and I are at the same level then. Yes, that's it.
All right, let's go to calls. Wildcard, line one, Jeff in Culver City, California. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Dave and Mrs. Robertson. Yes, if reincarnation is occurring to many people who claim, for example, to be John F. Kennedy in multiple locations in the United States, does this mean that one spirit, Kennedy, can manifest in many selected individuals simultaneously and make them believe that they may be the reincarnated John F. Kennedy? Or do you think that there may be some type of low-frequency radio wave that's being transmitted or beamed in the selected individual's subconscious mind, making them think that they're the reincarnated JFK. And I'll take the answer up there.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Well, first of all, the best cases of ostensible reincarnation are not of famous people. The people who claim to be Napoleon, John F. Kennedy, Queen Victoria, it's usually a lot of rubbish, to be honest with you. It's nonsense. The reasons for that is possibly wishful thinking. The person could be, it could be a low-frequency spirit that's pretending to be that person. But generally speaking, I mean, 99% of the time, if it's supposed to be a famous person, I would forget it. Because it's people you don't know, and you have to find out who they were, that are much more reliable than people who are famous.
I will tell you, Tricia, with that, there's a really fascinating book called Marilyn Returns. And
yes.
I've read the book. I've spoken to Sherry Lee Laird, who is believed to be the reincarnation of Marilyn, and she is so entrancing that she has convinced a few of Marilyn's cohorts and friends that she is who she claims to be. I've always been fascinated that she doesn't really live off of that aspect of her life, which you think somebody would. She is a musician and an artist in her own right, and out of Canada, she's a musician. Beautiful woman, a very interesting human being. And I'll tell you, I had the opportunity to be at a party in California, and she was there in attendance with Dr. Barry Taff and a few other investigators. And when she was on and people were paying attention to her, she couldn't look any further. I mean, other than being an attractive blonde, there was no other real connection to Marilyn. What I thought was one of the most telling and interesting aspects, Tricia, was as the night progressed and people were on to different topics and spirit boxes and medium wrappings and other things, and she was off to the side, no one was paying attention, I would glance at her from time to time, and that's when she would take on this amazing aura of Marilyn, where she had the slow eyes and this look, and it was just astounding. I wish there was a way that I could have photographed and captured that sense that was around her. And she is, it was really great. Sherry Lee Laird, the book is called Marilyn Returns. That is one of the few that I've been intrigued by.
I did say 90% of the time it was nonsense. But there's no reason why a famous person can't come back as somebody else. But it, generally speaking, if you get half a dozen Napoleons or John F. Kennedys, then it's imagination usually.
Well, you know, there's been some conversation that if we are reincarnated, where are all of these new souls coming from? And there's been some theory to the point that souls do fracture, and sometimes, especially in a tragic way, like Kennedy's murder or so on, that when their soul separates, sometimes it may be fragmented. So perhaps those fragments are reincarnated, or those fragments are in a wave. I think, and this might be what Jeff was referring to, although I think he's talking more like the domestic terrorism kind of beaming information into people's minds and making them feel or believe certain things. I don't know if that's what he's referring to, or the fact that if Kennedy vibrated at a certain, his personality and energy is at a certain wavelength, and you and I as humans are also tuned into that wavelength, could we receive some of those messages and think that those are our memories when they're in fact just the memory and image that we're picking up of that radio frequency?
Well, look, the whole point is we don't really understand the nature of, we'll call it each and individual soul. There are many theories each one of us, our soul is like the facets of a diamond, and only one facet at a time can materialize, you know, on the earth plane. And then when you've had your experiences, Dave Schrader, that will go back to your diamond, and that facet will go into the whole of your soul. Then, of course, to say there are group souls, but a lot of people do all of these things together. And the problem is, when you start hypothesizing about things we don't know, it's very difficult because we're only guessing at this. When it's a famous person, it's even more difficult to give any sort of sensible comment on it at all. But the bottom line is, we really don't know the nature of individual souls. They say you go back to your individual soul and then possibly to your group soul as well. It's like animals, they're only supposed to have group souls, not individual souls, unless they're particularly loved by someone who's still alive that keeps that individuality alive. But this is pure hypothesis. This is guesswork. We don't know. We really don't know what the limits are, unfortunately. So I can't really give a sensible answer to that. I'm sorry.
With physics, can't we figure out a way to measure the brain frequency and the resonance every human has? I would think that there should be some kind of tool by this point that could measure those capabilities.
Well, they can certainly do your brain frequencies very, very quickly, because I know time is running out. The chap I spoke about in Brazil, Chico Xavier, the one that does the automatic writing, he was very interested in the working of it himself. He didn't understand it. He's a very honest, simple man. And he had people do his brain waves, record them while he was Chico, and he had them recorded while he was doing his automatic writing. And it turned out that the brain frequencies were entirely different when he was just being Chico, and when something was working through him, it was like completely different personalities. So that's a bit pragmatic. That shows you something different is actually going on.
Right. Well, that could be where we take the hypothesis of maybe people are picking up on a frequency, is if we have multiple people that believe that they're John Kennedy or Marilyn Monroe, if we're able to measure and do it in a quantitative way, their frequency of their brain, if we can find that, boy, they are right in tune with this person and this person, that would be above hypothesis. We should be able
to start looking at it. And on the other show, to bore the other people, I've told you before about two materializations. One was done by, John Logie Baird, the inventor of television, was a materialization, and he took the fingerprint of the materialized spirit, and he compared it to the fingerprint of the person when they had been alive. Now, I don't know how he knew that, but he did have it. So he had the fingerprint of the person while they were still alive. He had the fingerprint of the materialized figure, and the fingerprints were identical. Now, you and I know that there has to be the same person. And in the other one, when Colin Fry was a medium, a doctor took the pulse of the materialized figure and the pulse of the medium, and they were entirely different. Once again, as you say, it would be great to have all these records, and you could say, absolutely, that is that person. That is their pulse. That's their fingerprint. That's their resonant frequency.
Right.
Wouldn't it be fabulous?
Well, hopefully that's where we can continue to work. Wildcard Line 2, Catherine in Corpus Christi, Texas. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
After listening to you guys, I'm almost feeling like I'm off topic. But I'm a hospice nurse. All the people I take care of are terminal. And when I talk to them, I always talk to them about me helping them take the next step to the next journey, be that heaven or whatnot.
Good.
And
Excellent. And
I have my patients, so many of my patients, when they're, getting close, they're talking to people in the room,
mm-hmm.
they're having conversations, and it really freaks out my family members. It doesn't bother me at all. I think it's kind of cool. But it's all about the heaven. Everyone wants to know, are they going to heaven? And I don't always have the answer. Something I'd like to believe, but I don't know what to tell. I don't know what to tell these people sometimes. And all I know is talking about a journey wherever it is. So how do I address families that aren't strict, religious, they're going to heaven and there's nothing else? The ones that have other questions, I don't know what to tell them.
Well, this is a very, very common thing. As I say, Dr. Peter Fenwick and his wife have written a book about this very thing, about the deathbed experience for the onlookers and for the patient themselves. And what you describe is absolutely typical. Many, many nurses, doctors, etc., have this experience where the person, they become transformed themselves. They can often become lucid, even if they've been in a coma for weeks. They can suddenly sit up, talk, and go towards the light. I like to think about the next realm in terms of light. I like, it's only my model for that. I think that they're going through a light situation and they're going somewhere lighter than they are now. And as long as that person's happy with what's going on, the people around them should see that they're happy going on. And it once again, it depends on the family. It's difficult for you. I don't think you should tell them anything. I think you should just say, look at the effects. It's happening to this patient. They're obviously very happy with wherever they are going. You don't need to put a name on it. You don't need to make it anything fancy. And I presume sometimes, obviously, it's very beautiful when they actually go. And I'll bet that you know the very second that person's soul leaves their body. Do you find that? You can tell when they've gone?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So the person's not there anymore. It's the old glove. It's the old shoe that's lying there. And the essence of that person has gone on to whatever it is and wherever we go next.
Let's take our final... Oh, we've got one more final call. Sorry about that, Catherine. I didn't mean to disconnect you.
First-time
caller list, Irene in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Real quickly before we wrap up, what was your question for our guest?
Oh, good morning, Sir Schrader.
Sure.
And your guest, she's so enlightening. I wanted to share a quick experience that happened to my son and I. My mother, she passed. She was just a couple months shy from her 76th birthday. And a couple days later when I get home, we went shopping at a supermarket, and I was by the delicatessen there picking up some meat, and I turned around, and about 10, 15 feet away from me, there was a woman, and she looked just like my mother, and tears were streaming down my face. I couldn't even talk, and I'm getting my son. I couldn't say, oh, my God, enough. I'm saying, oh, look, who does she look like? Who does she look like? She looks like Grandma. And the lady's just standing there, innocent, looking at me. And I said, oh, my God. I says, are you German? And she shook her head, and she went, yeah. And I told her the story. She didn't say a word. And then she went to walk. I couldn't take my eyes off of her. And I wanted to follow her, but something told me that I shouldn't. And she got all the way down by the end, and she went in the aisle. And I stayed in the store, you know, a little while. I never seen her again, but I feel like I was blessed to see that, my son and I. And maybe it'll create a chain reaction when my time comes. But she looks just like my mother. Just
wow.
Like her.
Very cool. Well, thank you for calling in.
That was good. That was good.
Well, we're at the end of our ride together tonight, Tricia. It's been a pleasure speaking with you and having you join me on the show again. And please keep us in mind when you come out with your new book. I know we'd love to visit with you again. And if people have stories to share, can they reach out to you through your website and talk to you, communicate to you there?
I've got, as I say, there's quite a few contact forms coming up now. Yep.
Great, and we've got those links up at Coast to Coast AM. Thank you for joining us, Tricia Robertson. I also want to thank my guest from the first 2 hours, Robert Snow, back at home office holding things down for me, Nathan, Dave Hines, my good friend and engineer, Tim Dennis, my producer, Chris Boros, along with Lisa Lyons, and, of course, the master himself, George Norrie. Thank you all for joining me and being a part of my world. Remember to check out darknessradio.com to keep up with me Monday through Friday, and we'll be back again with you in March sometime. Thank you for tuning in. This is the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM.